please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 61. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find that on page 409. Psalm 61. We read these words. Hear my cry, O God, and listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God, and you have given me the heritage of those who hear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing praises to your name and fulfill my vows day after day. God's word is awesome and powerful. I look forward to hearing what God's word has to say to us today.
Thank you so much, Ryan, for that beautiful song this morning. I believe in a place called heaven. I believe that God dwells there. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to please open up to the 61st Psalm. Psalm 61. I was doing a little bit of research for this particular message and was looking on the internet at some issues, and you know, it's kind of interesting in this day and age in which we live, as intelligent as man has become, as affluent as man has become, we find that there are more issues that people are facing at younger and younger ages than at any time in history. There are more young people in drug and alcohol counseling than has ever been in the history of our country. There are more people that are in psychologists and psychiatrists' offices trying to determine why they can't handle the issues of life, in spite of the fact that we have so much modern-day stuff to make life easy. People are just becoming overwhelmed with life. Much of it has to do with the pace of life. Much of it has to do, believe it or not, with the fact that man has too much time. And in having too much time, they have the tendency to focus more and more and more on the things they don't have. And that becomes a real point of contention in their spirit and in their life, and brings them to a place of where they just feel overwhelmed. And they find themselves in the busyness of life, missing the opportunities to just relax, to take a step back and reflect upon the greatness of God and the glory of who He is. The psalmist in this 61st Psalm was going through a period of time when life was just overwhelming. And he wasn't sure how to handle things. And so this psalm is literally a prayer. And in this prayer, he puts together for us a process of how to get through when we feel overwhelmed. And I want to share with you out of this psalm six different things, and then kind of tie it together in a conclusion. But I want to share with you the prayer, the past, the plea, the promises, the perspective, and the praise. And as the psalmist looks at this, as David looks at the circumstances in his life and the overwhelming sense of despair that he feels, he discovers relief. And, folks, we can discover relief for the overwhelming things that we go through in life if we'll just take the time before the Lord. Let's look at this. I want you to notice, first of all, the prayer. Look at the first two verses of this particular psalm. David says this. He says, "Hear my cry, O God. Give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." When my heart is faint, when I am in despair, when I am at a point in my life where I just don't want to go on, where I don't want to face life, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place in your life where you would like to be able to have that little desert island that nobody knows about? And just be able to go there and not have to face people, not have to look at things at all, but just kind of bury yourself in a cave somewhere that no one knows. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there when the point of your life is so frustrating that you just don't know what direction to turn? You don't know where help is going to come from. Have you ever been there when you're so discouraged and you're so defeated that you're just ready to throw your hands up in the air and say, "I can't do this anymore. I am weary of it. I am tired. I am defeated. I am discouraged. I quit." Have you ever been there? David had. And so he determines that the step that he needs to do is pray. And what does he pray for? A hiding place? No. He prays for a rock that is higher than he is. He doesn't look down in his life. He looks up. I pray, God, for a rock that is higher than I. Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the high and holy one. Jesus Christ is the awesome power of God. And in Him is contained everything that is necessary for recovery, for strength, for courage, and for hope. David begins with prayer. Secondly, I want you to notice that what David does is he looks to the past. Notice this. Look at verse 3. "For thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy." Lord, what he's really saying is, in my past, when I have had these struggles, you have been there. And so he looks back to those moments when the Lord just interceded for him. When the Lord interjected himself in various circumstances. There isn't any doubt in my mind that David, that in this time of recollection of the past, he's remembering when When Saul wanted to just physically destroy him and tried to kill him over and over and over. And yet, God interceded for him. I'm sure that David is looking back to when he was shepherding the sheep and the lion showed up and God gave him amazing abilities to take care of the lion. Or when he stood in that valley in front of that giant, Goliath. And with a simple stone and a sling, he brought the giant to his demise. David looks at the circumstances that he's currently involved in, and we don't really know what those circumstances are. There's some suppositions, yes, about enemies that were trying to overthrow Israel and trying to destroy them. There's some supposition that this when David is praying this, but they really don't know. But they know that it was a crisis moment in his life anyhow. And what he does is he draws on the strength in remembering the way that God interjected himself in his moments of trial in the past. You see, folks, when we're going through a overwhelming event in our lives, whatever it might be, maybe it's a job situation, maybe it's a family situation, maybe it's a sin situation. I really don't know, but whatever the circumstance is, if we take the time to reflect upon how God has been there for us in the past, it'll bring us encouragement into the present. So take a moment in your prayer to praise God for what He has done for you in the past. David brings this into past tense when he says, "For thou hast been." You have been my protection. You have been my residing place. You have been the one who has overseen the difficulties. You have been the tower of strength against my enemies. God, you are the one to be trusted. As you were in the past, I'm going to trust in you now. And then notice the third thing that he brings about in this prayer is he brings about this plea. Look at verse 4. He says, "Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Let me take refuge in the shelter of thy wings. Let me dwell in thy tent forever. Lord, let me dwell in your home. Let me dwell in your kingdom. Let me dwell in your grace. Let me dwell in your residing place. Lord, let me take refuge in the shelter of your wings." The symbolism here is that God covers us with the wings of His righteousness and the wings of His strength. And so David is pleading for God to cover him with His protective mercy. When you're overwhelmed, folks, don't seek help at the bottom of a bottle. Whether that bottle contains pills or whether it contains liquid, there is no hope in those things. Go to the rock that is higher than you. Go to the one who is a shelter and a protector in your moment of despair. Go to God. He is the help and the encouragement for you. This past week, there has been almost a sense of national mourning over the passing of Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston was a tremendous talent. There isn't any question about that. But she was a troubled soul, because she sought her refuge not in the Lord, but in the bottle. Alcohol and pills, seeking some kind of relief, some kind of help. That's not where help comes from. The psalmist in another psalm says, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Look to the hills. Look to the rock that is higher than you. And so whatever you face, look to Him. The next thing I want you to know is the promises. Look at verse 5. For Thou hast heard my vows, O God. Thou hast given me the inheritance of those who fear Thy name. The promises of God. You see, God has promised us over and over, when we make a vow to Him, when we enter into a covenant with Him, He has promised us that He will honor His half of the bargain. When we enter into a covenant of forgiveness and relationship with Him, He has promised He will wash away our sins. That He will cleanse us from unrighteousness. That He will give us the opportunity of a fresh, clean start before Him. And so David says, Lord, You have heard my vows. And there isn't any doubt in my mind that David at this point is looking back at the time when he had committed his disastrous sin with Bathsheba. And you come into that 51st Psalm where David is broken over that. And he's very repentant. And he seeks the forgiveness of God and the help that only God could give in that moment. When David had fallen so far that he had not only committed adultery, but tried to cover it up with murder. And yet, he went before God in repentance and genuine sorrow, and he made vows. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. And God infused him with forgiveness and cleansing and with a great opportunity for a clean start. That's what God offers to us. And so David, even in this prayer, he is reflecting upon the promises of God. That God has promised to not forsake him or to leave him, but instead to give him the inheritance of eternal life, a place in his kingdom forever. When you're overwhelmed, focus on the promises of God. Take some of those promises, and I'll tell you, there's a ton of little books out there. Well, you can have a promise every day from the Word of God and just read that if you want to. And just ask God to give you a promise for that day that's going to help you with whatever you're going to face. You know, it's an interesting thing because God knows what you're going to face before you do. He already knows what lies in wait for Lynn Sirigliano on Thursday this week, this coming week. He knows. He already knows whose paths I'm going to cross and who's going to cross mine. He already knows the opportunities that He's going to give. He already knows all of that. And so if you pray and you ask Him, God, give me a promise for today, He'll give you a promise that's going to help you in the things that you face that day because He already knows what those things are going to be. So trust Him. Place your confidence in Him. Reflect upon His promises. And then, folks, take that promise that He gives you for that day and keep it with you all day. Go over it and over it. And over it in your mind and in your heart. And if you have to write it down, write it down. Stick it in your pocket and take it out once in a while through that day. And then when tomorrow comes, it's a brand new day filled with brand new opportunities. There's going to be brand new challenges that you didn't have the day before. And so God wants to give you a brand new promise for that day. Take Him up on it. And He'll help you. And that's what David is saying here. He's saying, look, you have heard my vows and you have given me the inheritance of those who fear your name. Those who respect you, God. Those who reverence you. Those who revere who you are. You've promised to be there and to help them and to encourage them. You know, now, I want you to hear this. God didn't love David any more than He loves you. That kind of blows our minds when we begin to think about it. It's not the quantity of the love of God. It's the quality of the love of God. He loves you as much as David. He loves you as much as the person in the pew beside you. And He loves them as much as He does you. The quality of the love of God is unsurpassed. But that's how much He loves you. You are at the center of His heart and the middle of His eye. You are the apple of His eye. He loves you. When life becomes overwhelming, when you think that you can't go on and you can't take another step, you can't face another person, when you just feel like the world is caving in around you, remember the promises of God. And a big one is this: He will never place upon you more than you can handle, but that He'll provide the way of escape. God loves you. Keep that in mind. Now notice the perspective. Look at verses 6 and 7. In David's prayer as he continues, he says, Thou wilt prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. Wow. Wow, what a perspective. The days of life, ladies and gentlemen, on this world mean nothing in comparison to the eternal life that God has promised us in His kingdom. For those that revere Him, for those that fear Him, for those that respect Him, for those that honor Him, for those that walk faithfully with Him, He has promised that their life will never end, but that they will have His presence with them forever. I love Paul's perspective on death. Paul's perspective is this: those that are absent from the body are present with the Lord. And I love the image and the visual that my mind goes through with that thought. When I close my eyes in death here, I open my eyes in the presence of God. Not when the resurrection takes place, here and now. This moment, the moment that my eyes close in death, they open in the presence of God. That's why in the Revelation, the Bible tells us that when Jesus comes back, He brings with them those who have gone before us. He brings them with Him. Body and soul are then reunited in the glorious resurrection. But even though the body lies silent in the grave, the spirit is in the presence of God. The essence of who we are is with Him. We haven't ceased to exist. We have changed addresses. That's all that's taken place. So in a moment, when my eyes close in death, they open at the face of Jesus. What a great and glorious promise. And the psalmist puts that in perspective. And he says, look, you will prolong the king's life. His years will be as many generations. He will abide before God forever. Appoint loving kindness and truth, that they may preserve Him. Appoint those things. And then notice the last thing. I want you to notice the praise. And David finally comes to the conclusion that maybe he's not so overwhelmed, because he says, so I will sing praise to Thy name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. God, I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to give You glory, because You've promised to be with me day by day. Help me to honor the promises and the vows and the pledges and the covenants that I've made with You. Here's the conclusion. It's a simple process for when you're overwhelmed. When you're overwhelmed, pray. That's where you begin. It's not a last resort. That's where you begin. Pray. In that prayer, remember what God has done for you in the past. Realize He'll do that now. Three. Request of Him. God's not afraid of you asking Him for help, for strength, for encouragement, for hope. So request of Him what it is that you need. Four, realize that God hears and answers your prayers. That's a real key, folks. Don't just pray, not in faith, not believing, but pray in faith, believing, realizing that God cares about the very difficult things of life that touch your life. And then respond. That's the last thing. Respond. Respond how? In song. That's what David says here. So I will sing praise. It's all right. But Pastor, I can't sing. Doesn't matter. Your voice is sweet music to God's ear, whether it's on key or it ain't. Doesn't matter. And if you don't want to sing, then you praise Him in some other way. Perhaps by just stepping out and encouraging someone else in their walk and in their journey. Just a tool to be used in the hands of God to help someone else in this life. That's the process. In other words, respond. Do it. And God will bless your life. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you to take your hymnals. Open up to number 430. Number 430, I Must Tell Jesus. If you're here today, and maybe you're going through a discouraging time, this is the place to begin. Begin with prayer. Follow this pattern that David used, and watch how God takes your circumstances, your situation, even if it's just taking your heart and making a change. But watch how He responds. And then walk in faith with Him. I must tell Jesus all of my trials, all of my troubles, all of my struggles. He cares for me. So let's sing number 430. And if God is speaking to you and you're just kind of overwhelmed, why don't you come? Just spend a little time with Him. No one will bother you. Just you and the Lord.